Okay, everyone. I guess we'll get this the September 23rd meeting of the Expanded Budget Committee off to a start. I do have a couple of housekeeping issues that I want to bring up before we get into the meat of our program. One, I'm asking on behalf of Dominic Recchio. He would like to know if everyone would be interested in attending the budget forum on October 7th remotely. Otherwise, we're going to have staff here to have the chambers open and the Zoom up and running for people who prefer to be here in chambers. So I guess I'd just like to get a sense of where you all stand on that. So I'm going to ask you one by one what your feelings are. Dave McKenna?
Probably do it on Zoom.
Okay. Rich John?
I'm fine either way. I can do it on Zoom.
Okay, thanks. Henry?
Zoom.
Okay. Amanda?
Zoom is fine.
Okay, Annie.
I'm sorry, I'm just asking for a clarification. Did you say the 7th?
Yeah, October 7th is our budget forum.
Oh, the budget forum. Sure. Zoom is good.
All right, thank you. Mike Sigler.
So is this is the public hearing or is this just the...
No, this is the forum. Remember, we have a forum usually...
Yeah, I would do that in person, so...
You'll be doing that one in person or by Zoom or do you
care? I don't really care. Well, I think the public should be allowed to come in is what I'm saying. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, I think that they would offer their comments online or on Zoom just as they did during 2020. Is that correct, Kathy?
Well, they could, unless if the legislature decided to allow the in-person meeting for the public forum. Then we would be, need to be open, or there would be need to be a space available for that to happen.
Okay.
Just remember, that's not an official meeting.
Right. Okay, so we do have the option. Right. And I also tend to recall from past years that that's generally not stunningly well attended by the public. Many's the time we've all showed up and no one has appeared. Okay. Shauna, can you talk while you're on the road there?
Sure can.
Okay. So is Zoom all right with you?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Okay, and Leslie, that's you with the phone number. Is it okay with you?
I don't think Leslie Schill is here.
She's the 202 phone number. She had contacted me earlier today and said she was going to have to be on the road, so she would join by phone.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Okay, Martha, I saw you give a thumbs up. How about you, Glenn?
Fine.
Mike? Okay, so we're all A-okay with doing the forum remotely. I will advise Dominic of that. And, Martha?
Usually the county administrator gives an overview of the budget to start, just so the public, has that update. But obviously that could be done on Zoom, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Lisa's okay with that since she's been attending all of these remotely. Is that right, Lisa? Okay, thumbs up. All right, well, I will advise Dominic, and I will have him consult with Kathy just to make sure that this isn't going to pose a huge problem in terms of people being able to give their thoughts remotely as well. All right, and then the second housekeeping detail, Rich, John, and I got an email today from Lisa about some details in the budget book that are incorrect with respect to one specific department that's on our agenda this evening. Given that this is the first year that Lisa and Daniel have been wrestling with the jerry-built system that Kevin put together that he was so very good at and the rest of us not so much, there may be mistakes here and there in the budget book across the board. So I'm going to ask Lisa if she would prefer to send those corrections all to me to file OTRs to correct them, or if she would prefer to send them to the program committee chairs who deal with the particular departments. I'm certainly willing to do whatever works better for her.
I'm happy to send to you as the budget chair, Deborah, as well as the program committee chair. This is our first mistake that we've come across, and hopefully there won't be more, but you never know. And not each mistake will necessarily mean an OTR. It might mean, for example, the FTE was just simply a page change, but there is something with one OTR that does affect it. So, in this case, Rich volunteered to sponsor the housekeeping OTR that will result in this. It was the Department of Emergency Response. It's a few thousand dollars. So I'm happy to go with program committee chair and copying you, Deborah, so that you're aware of any changes going forward that would affect the budget.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lisa. We just don't want anything to fall between the cracks. So just everybody who chairs the committee, be aware that they might possibly get an email to this effect. And with that, I think we can move forward. So our first presenter on tonight's agenda is the district attorney. You can find his presentation, his budget in the budget book at page 4-63. Take it away, Matt.
Thanks, Deborah. So I can say that this is now my fifth budget presentation, and this is probably the least demanding. I'm asking for the least controversial budget probably in my 5 years. I can share my screen and pull up my PowerPoint if that's okay. So my budget has always been about 95% personnel based, and I think we're generally pretty frugal with the expenses that we do ask for every year in terms of just overhead and operating expenses. But we are basically a personnel driven department, and that's, I don't think, ever going to change. I know I've talked in the past about the level of staffing that we have of attorneys, and we are still by national standards understaffed with assistant district attorneys. And the national standard is one prosecutor per 10,000 residents. And right now we have 9 attorneys, including myself. And I have a full caseload of felony and misdemeanor cases, but we're at one prosecutor to 11,539 population or residents. So I just say that to say that we are making the best, and we're not complaining, and we're not, don't take that as a complaint. But it's a fact that we are working hard and doing everything that we need to be doing with the staff that we have. Let's see. So this is our recommended budget. It's very similar to last year. We got a little bit more, I think, aid to prosecution as a grant that we get through Department of Criminal Justice Services. That's a little bit more in this coming year for some reason, not sure why, but we'll take it. We are one staff member less than we have been for the last couple of years. That represents the administrative assistant position that was our receptionist. She did a lot of interaction with the public, dealt with a lot of traffic ticket matters, was a filter for a lot of people that stopped up. Because of COVID, we have not really been taking the walk-in traffic in our office that we normally had done before. So that hasn't really been an issue, and we'll make do without her going forward. But that's why our number is less this year and going forward than it was in 2020 by one full-time employee. The two over target requests, one of them is the third year of what I had initially proposed based on the discovery reform. The additional requirements to provide discovery early and at a much higher level than we had ever done in the past, specifically body cameras and surveillance video. Those take up a lot of time to collect and time to disperse. And so having that third confidential investigator has been critical for us for the last 2 years, almost 2 years. And I can't imagine doing without that confidential investigator. There, we have three. They are all part-time investigators who have been who have retired from one of the local police agencies. One from Ithaca Police, one from the State Police, one from the Sheriff's Office. And that, I think, in my view, is the perfect arrangement for us because they have a rapport and an understanding with those major police agencies, the three major police agencies that we deal with on a regular basis. Those three agencies probably provide us with 95% of the cases that we handle in our office. We expect this week, even though it was planned to happen in April, I know some other counties and districts have already had this change, but the state police have been threatening to get body-worn cameras since April, and I understand they're getting them today or as we speak. So that's an additional discovery burden that we have not had, that we've been planning for. We knew it was coming, but that's a significant amount of work that we haven't had to do with the state police cases that we will be doing now. And I think my view on the discovery reform has always been that it's a positive thing. It's a valuable thing. It's something that we support 100% in terms of providing evidence to defendants early on in their case, as a matter of fairness, so that they can know what the evidence is against them and successfully address the charges and be able to be in the best position to have their day in court. The other over-target expense is a small one, but it is related to private laboratory testing for drug cases. And in a very limited way, we do need to send out some drugs that are the subject of criminal charges to a private laboratory, NMS lab in Pennsylvania, which is about $500 a shot, not counting testimony. My general philosophy is that I don't want to prioritize or spend any significant amount of time prosecuting drug charges, personal use drug charges. But when it becomes necessary, when someone's struggling, someone we identify as being in need of alternatives to incarceration, specifically drug treatment court, that's the only way to incentivize that person to get into treatment court is by having criminal charges. And if we aren't able to prosecute misdemeanor level drug charges, then there is no incentive whatsoever for that person to take advantage of the alternative to incarceration, and they may be in jeopardy. Their physical well-being may be in jeopardy, but if we can connect them with services that are associated with the treatment courts, then that's a way to, I think, use that money in an intelligent way, not to prosecute people, but to really address people who are really in need of services. So that's the second OTR. This is a screen that we've always had in past PowerPoint presentations, and I added it this year, even though we were encouraged to keep it limited. But we are still very much feeling the effects of the change of the discovery reform, and that's mainly because we've been experiencing such a backlog due to the pandemic. We have started doing trials where we have done or started 5 jury trials since the summer. And since we've been able to or had permission to start jury trials again, and we have many more to do that are scheduled the rest of this year and going into next year. So, like I said, with the state police body camera, that's another factor that we will be having to deal with as soon as we start seeing those videos come in. We're using some case management software that we get from the New York State Prosecutors Training Institute, which is extremely efficient. We provide discovery through the cloud, and it works very well. But those are two major influences, obviously the pandemic and discovery reform. I list reimagining public safety because I've been hoping to be involved. I am one of the technical advisors on the city's commission. Haven't been asked to do anything yet except do an onboarding for that, but I'm continuing to be a pest, and I'm anxious to put my 2 cents in and help that process be the best that it can be, because I think that my perspective and my input into that process is really from a perspective that no one else can provide. And so I'm hopeful to be spending some time, my time, in that process going forward and making changes to our community that I think will have a long-term benefit. LEAD is launching. Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion is launching. The officers have been trained. Ithaca police officers, I have an assistant DA who is dedicated to the operations working group, and she has been going to those meetings. I go to the policy meetings. We've been spending a good amount of time trying to plan for the implementation of it, and we want to spread it out to Lansing, hopefully in the next year. But that's something that we're spending time on, and I think it's going to be a fantastic addition to our toolbox of ATIs, diverting people completely from the criminal justice system through this LEAD program. And finally, I wanted to say that we do have our felony wellness and recovery or mental health court up and running. It's basically an annex to the misdemeanor wellness and recovery court, but Judge Miller, the 3rd county court judge, is the county court judge who is administering that court. But that is an additional ATI that we have a dedicated assistant DA working with. And so those are the influences that I think we are most affected by this year and next year. So I'm keeping it brief and as advised, but certainly happy to answer any questions that you all have.
Thank you, Matt. If you could stop sharing your screen, the majority of the legislators are attending remotely tonight, so I can't see hands if you're screen sharing. I know Martha has. Okay, thanks. I know Martha has a question.
Yeah, hi, Matt. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Hi, Martha.
Hi. So I want to understand that the lab service, the OTR for lab services, you said you previously received an allotment of 10,000 to use for these tests. Was that essentially, that was a one time? Is that what that means? You received an allotment. Is that one time funding?
I filed a resolution for a one time allotment from the contingency fund that was granted, and we haven't used all of it, and that's why it's not a round number of 10,000. We've been very, used it very sparingly, but we have used it when we needed to, as I described. So that's why the number is a little bit less than 10,000 that I initially asked for.
Was that that contingent fund request that was this year?
That was last year, I believe. Huh. One of the changes with the state police lab was that based on the additional requirements of the discovery reform, they would no longer test misdemeanor level at the state police laboratory. So we essentially had no way to test any of the substances that we suspected to be drugs, and that testing is necessary to be able to prosecute a case.
Okay. All right. The administrative assistant, was that one of the positions that was furloughed in mid-2020?
It was furloughed in mid-2020, and then when I proposed this year's budget, I proposed to eliminate her position, and that was part of that was a tough decision, but we had been getting along without her, and without the walk-in traffic, I think we can make it work, and we can figure out how to make it work going forward.
Okay, thank you. Just one other question about your rollover. I see you've got $178,738 in rollover, it says remaining balance. That's kind of a lot. Do you have any plans for that, or is there?
Well, a big part of that was that we get a grant every year towards the DA salary, and that's almost every county gets about the same amount. That came in early. So that's a big part of it.
Right. I remember seeing that in the rollover package. Okay.
But I have made a few pretty small requests, and other than that, I mean, it's a large part of it is a result of not being able to use grand jury or to prosecute cases for a long period of time due to the pandemic. So as far as I'm concerned, that can go back into the contingent fund.
Not sure you want to say that, but okay.
Yeah, as your attorney, I'm advising you not.
Well, we didn't hear you say that. Okay. Thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate it.
Okay. I've got Shauna and then Mike Lane.
Hi, Matt. Can you tell us for the mental health court, a few years ago, whenever we started this, there was a thought that once we had done it for the year, it would open up to Tompkins County residents. And then that the state would pick up the expenses. Have you seen any movement to that?
We have expanded it to the rest of the towns and villages in Tompkins County. So that's the misdemeanor level wellness and recovery court that is housed in Ithaca City Court. That has been happening. And I'll be honest, I don't know the budget situation for Wellness and Recovery Court. I don't know if they have been able to get state funding for it. I don't think that we put any county funds into it that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Mike.
Hi, Matt. Hi. Talk to me about your office space up there. Have you got sufficient space now for all your folks and your deputies and your investigators and your storage?
I didn't pay you to ask that question, but I just wanted everybody to know that I would love to have another employee, but frankly, there is absolutely nowhere to put them. When we were able to add an assistant DA to the staff, a couple of years ago, we created an office that had been an area where there were filing cabinets and shelves. We put up some wainscoting and a door and made that into a little space. It's just big enough for a desk and a chair. When we added the paralegal and the third confidential investigator because of discovery reform, they're essentially in the hallway. So we are as packed and we're using our space as efficiently as we can. But we couldn't possibly, I mean, it's really tough. When we initially put up a bunch of plexiglass, during COVID as we were recommended to do, it was, pretty interesting to do that. But obviously I hear about this new county office building and I've heard threats that we're being kicked out of the courthouse at some point. You know, I love being in the courthouse because it's so convenient to, the courtrooms. But, I won't be heartbroken if we are able to have better office space in a new county administration building.
Would you be able to split any of your employees into another area if it was available, or do they all need to be up on the third floor?
I would really hate to do that. I mean, there's so much collaboration between an investigator, a paralegal, an attorney, or multiple attorneys working on a certain case. It's really tough to say who I would split out. And I'd be happy to keep doing what we're doing now until there's some other better solution, but I wouldn't want to change it to take people out of this space.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, everybody. I want to nail something down. I noticed in the budget book, your OTRs are both being added to Target. Is that correct? Maybe this is a question for Lisa.
Well, I know that back when we were doing the first budget that took into account discovery reform and I had asked for the third confidential investigator, it was initially going to be a Target request, and then it was made into a three one-year OTR. This is the third year of that, 2022 would be. It's a position we can't live without, so I would hope that it's a Target at this point. Maybe Lisa can clarify that.
Yes, it's intended for Target, as we've been going through the process of one-time OTRs. We were able to accommodate it in Target.
Okay, thanks, Lisa. And I think Henry has a question.
Yes, thank you, Matt. So in terms of discovery reform, I assume that basically you're all set with that in the process and everything else?
We have it down. I think we are managing it well. And, a big result of it is that we are able to screen cases out much earlier in the process, which I think is an unintended benefit, but a benefit to the community nonetheless, in the fact that we are screening out and dismissing nonviolent low-level offenses that we, as we triage what we can provide discovery on and what we can't, we don't want to prosecute low-level property crimes, crimes of poverty. We've never wanted to prosecute those, but sometimes it's hard to determine that without all the discovery that we've been required to collect very quickly. So it's been helpful in that respect. But I think that compared to other counties, as I hear, anecdotes from defense attorneys who practice in other counties, and Lance, I think, is on here. Maybe he's paying attention. I think that we're doing a better job at it than a lot of counties. I think that we've taken the law, and applied it in good faith to try to provide as much to the defense as we can. And I think that we've put together some documents and a process that works really well. So I don't think we need anything more to make it happen. We're bracing ourselves for the state police body cameras. I'm told that they're going to use them longer and more often than the other police agencies as a matter of policy. We don't know what that looks like just yet, but, you know, it's going to be a lot of bandwidth.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, everyone. If there's nothing else, I think Matt can enjoy the rest of his evening out of our company now. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate your time.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay, next up, we have assigned counsel. That's at page 4-9 of your books, and that would be Lance Salisbury.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi, Lance.
Hi. I'm going to go ahead share my screen and kind of get us through that if it worked. If I did that correctly, please let me know if you can't see it. I know you want us to run through this quickly, so I will.
Can't see it yet.
Oops. Okay. Hang on a second. I got ahead of myself then. There we go. Now can you see it? Okay.
Yes, sir.
there we go. So I'm gonna go through this quickly and leave time for questions. I think we're pretty simple. You see our budget request this year is 2.042056. You'll see that's an increase from 2021. It's actually a return to our more normal budget numbers if you were to look back at 2020, 2019. You would see that that's basically a reflection of 2021. We reduced our budget as a result of the kind of the court system shutdown due to COVID. Our staffing is unchanged for 2022. It's still the same 6 staff. You'll see we have one OTR. So let me cover that in our budget increase request. This is mainly we're seeking this request, and we're seeking the OTR for family court costs. These are due to a couple of factors. We've had this year we had an increase in the eligibility standards for family court. They were raised to the same level as criminal cases. So this has expanded the pool of people who are eligible for family court to be covered by assigned counsel. And in anticipating this question, yes, that's an unshared mandate from the state. We've also had the other big factors are we've had a large bubble of cases, of family court cases, starting particularly the last half of this year. This is due to the shutdown in the court system due to COVID. Family court cases, many of them were put off and are now just working their way through the system. This is a statewide issue. We're not the only county being hit with this, but you know we're frankly swamped. Our attorneys are overburdened right now trying to cover family court cases. I'm going to be making requests to a number of the law firms in town to try to assist us and pick up cases they normally wouldn't carry on this. The other thing playing out here, we're seeing an increase in this increase in family court cases. We're seeing an increase involving families. It's interesting, and many of them are not partner versus partner types of cases that we normally get, but a lot of them involve family members. We think this is another impact of COVID in the shutdown. You keep people compressed in small areas together. It builds up a lot of tensions, and we're seeing that play out. One of the things that happens with our attorney's fees, which are the family court costs we're talking about, is family court cases we have coming into the system now, most of those will not get resolved and hence billed out will be paid out by us in 2022, hence our budget request for 2022. I'm gonna end it there, and I'll stop sharing my screen and take your questions.
Thank you, Lance. That was delightfully succinct. I'll wait till you stop sharing so I can see if there are any hands.
Yeah, I'm trying to there it is. There.
Super. Thank you. Okay. If you have a question, this is the time. Martha?
Is it Rich's hand for?
Oh, okay. Thanks. It's very hard to see. Rich needs a darker hand, and Henry needs a lighter one, because Rich's his hand blends into his background, and Henry's blends into his. All right, I see you waving.
I just had a comment where we may see even higher numbers here, that the incentives for assigned counsel on criminal matters is nobody wants to be arrested. But when you move over to family court, there's different, you know, thinking about it, and certainly there's no criminal penalty possible in getting involved in family court, and particularly if your attorney's fees are covered. So this expansion, we might see even more spending here, but I'd defer to Lance on that. But just I wanted everybody to understand the incentive system is quite different on the family court side.
That's a good point. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else? Martha.
Yeah, it's about that. In the explanation about the OTR for family court fees, Lance, you say this OTR will allow us to address these mandated costs, which we do not expect to be an ongoing cost in the future. I understand you feel like there's a sort of a backlog because the courts were basically closed down. But you also are saying that eligibility is permanently increased. So why do you think costs won't continue high in the future?
I guess I was referring to the OTR itself. The one time this OTR is what is designed to really address the bubble we see. A lot of that bubble is, I think, due to a backlog. And then once we have that, I think, you know, we're going to have higher numbers, but I think the budget number you see, our regular budget number, I think at least for 2022, we'll handle that. And I think we can remain at a similar level. We're looking, frankly, at getting some grant money and some reimbursement costs to allow us to innovate with family court moving forward. That I think will help control costs in the sense of it won't replace costs, but we're able to use services and address, be involved, investigation and pre-petition. You can resolve a lot of these issues in these cases faster and more effectively, which will help control costs. So I think we get through this bubble we have right now in 2022, and we're going to, even with we have an increased caseload, we're looking at doing things qualitatively that will keep it under control.
Okay. And then NYSAC, a couple of us were at their conference last week. They approved a resolution asking the state to increase the assigned counsel or defense counsel attorney's fees. Did you write that resolution, Lance?
I probably should have. I can tell you just because you all have been very supportive of the increase in fees, which is really even more critical. Just I don't want to take up a lot of time on this, but the Chief Defenders Association and the Assigned Counsel Committee I'm a part of, we've drafted model legislation that we're working with the legislature on that will result in that increase in fees, but it will also mandate that that increase is covered by the state. One of the reasons we're doing that is there's been a lawsuit now filed down in the city just as there was, 14, 15 years ago, suing over that. That lawsuit doesn't address who would pay the increase in costs. So we're trying to be proactive. NYSAC has discussed that with us to make sure that that increase in fees is a state mandate and not a county mandate. I saw the NYSAC resolution on that. And I think they'd had some contact with us, with members of CDANI.
Okay, I appreciate that. I think it's the right thing, but yes, as usual, we may end up paying for it, but it's still really needed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Henry, is that your hand?
Nope, I'll have to ask my question. I took my hand down.
Oh, okay. See, I can't tell if it's your hand or a little splotch on your background. Okay, thanks. All right. Well, if nobody else has a question, I think we can let Lance go on to happier things.
Great. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Lance.
What could be happier than listening?
I know. The Lance Chambers during budget hearings is the happiest place on earth.
It's okay. Where I want to be with popcorn.
It's like Disney World.
Yeah. Oh, you're a good liar. Done. The next thing up is the sheriff's office and the jail, and these are on pages 4-187 and 4-193 of your books. And I think we have Derek Osborne with us. And maybe Jen Olin. Who knows? I see the TCSO. Yep, there they are.
TCSO? Sorry, okay. Of course, when we come on, the thing starts spinning. Let me just sit here. So, can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Would you like me to jump right in?
We're waiting breathlessly.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and next slide.
Can everyone see that?
Yes, and you all get a prize for the most efficient transition to screen sharing of the evening.
Yeah, we were happy. One of you reached out to us and said you were moving along a little early, so we were happy to jump in ourselves. You'll see our recommended budget that we put forth. But before, I'll just mention briefly that in our 2021 budget, we had some increased revenue due to a Homeland Security grant that we received money we received from solid waste to help with some illegal dumping enforcement. So that raised our revenue. We also saw a decrease in our expenditures due to an increase in retirements and a lot of replacements with new hires that started at the higher rate rather than the working rate. So that saved us some money. You can see that our 2022 recommended budget, $6,086,237. And that comes from increased staffing requests that we're making. Go to the next. If you remember, in the past, we had asked for more assistance administrative-wise in the sheriff's office, and we were granted the Stop DWI coordinator that moved up here from downtown shortly after that COVID hit. And unfortunately, we lost that position due to COVID and the savings that we needed to all help out with. So we're hoping that will help and be considered in the request that we're making here tonight. We're asking for two additional sergeants and two civil permit clerks that we'll have working under our administrative lieutenant who runs the civil office. And the idea behind that is to have a non-law enforcement response to a lot of our calls. Our goal is to have the sergeants help with accreditation and training, also supervise civilians that we're hoping to utilize for telephone response to a lot of police calls that we currently send deputies out armed to somebody's residence or place of business. We're trying to identify calls that we can handle over the phone and have civilians handle those. So the sergeants will be supervising them as well as doing other administrative tasks, like I mentioned. The plan is to have one assist with accreditation and training. And the other one is going to be in our civil lieutenant, civil office, taking some of the job duties away from the civil lieutenant that we have currently. And the hope is that lieutenant will be freed up to spend time interacting with the CJC and helping us on that front. We were able to identify savings in our own budget to fund one of the positions to make it a little less painful. And so that's our plan. I think that's it.
Is that everything?
No, I'm still going. This is just some of the numbers.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just turning the page. So, again, it's four FTEs we're asking for two civil permit clerks and two sergeants, making our total up to 52. Some of the savings or the expense that comes from that, we're hoping will be offset by the position you had already given us in the past, but unfortunately we had to lose that, being the stop DWI coordinator. We also realized savings to help fund these positions from our second jail nurse position. As you know, we haven't had anybody in that position for quite some time. With our lower jail numbers, we've been perfectly fine running with one full-time nurse. And we also set up a per diem program where we have a nurse or two on standby that we can call if we need to backfill for vacations and things of that nature. This is just the chart of the positions and the over-target requests we're asking for. A lot of this funding is coming from the nurse position that we've done without. And it's pretty self-explanatory.
I believe the next is the jail. I don't know if you want to take questions on this.
Do you want to ask questions on this or move on to the jail? I was going to say our jail budget is essentially, there's no changes going into 2022 except for the reduction in staffing with the second jail nurse that would be moved into our law enforcement budget to offset some of these positions.
Well, I think Martha has a question, and there may be some questions online, which Kathy will call out for me.
Yeah,
Shauna Black is next.
Okay, so we'll have Martha and then Shauna.
Thanks, Deborah. Thanks, Sheriff and Undersheriff. And there's a third person I can't see who's there.
Do you mind if we stop sharing our screen so that we can see you guys better?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
The third person is Megan Cook, our executive assistant. She helped prepare a lot of this. So.
Okay, thank you. I'm looking at the page, it's page 188 in our book. It's the full list of full-time equivalents, and it doesn't match up with the numbers that you had. It says that the target in 2022 will be 49, then with one-time OTR coming up to 50, but I thought you had a 54 number for your FTEs.
My book says 52, Martha.
52.
2022 total recommended 52.
You know what? I know my page says 50.
The original
page is special.
The original PowerPoint we received had the wrong FTEs on it, so we had to go through and change those to reflect what we added to our budget and before we submitted the budget.
Okay, I think this happened to somebody else the other day where my book didn't get caught. Okay, so I'll find that. You're able to move your personnel numbers around, basically, and I think I heard what you said was that you really feel you don't need the second nurse, and because your population is down, and you're comfortable with the per diem person is available sufficiently for the backup.
Yeah, that's right, Martha. We've only had the one nurse all last year, anyhow, in this year. So we're doing just fine with the one nurse. And like I said, we do have a contract for per diem nurses that can fill in when we need them, and it's worked out great. So.
Okay. And in my book, and again, maybe this is correct, or maybe I didn't get this fixed. OTR 94 for the 224,000. I've got that you've requested it as target, but the county administrator approved it as one time.
Yeah, I think for this program, I mean, this is all new to us, and this is part of our reimagination plans. They have a non-law enforcement response, so it definitely is a trial period. Of course, we would like to see this continue on in the future, but like I said, this is something completely new for us, and so we're going to be experimenting with it and see how it goes.
Okay, so I guess to Lisa, that was the intention there, or Deanna, to be.
Yeah, that was the thinking behind most of the funding consistently, or pretty much all of the funding consistently through the reimagining recommendations, and the salaries would be one-time multi-year OTR, and as Derek said, to see how it functioned, and hopefully, you know, if it functions the way we think and hope, that it would at some point transition to target.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry if I didn't hear all this correctly. It was hard to hear it. So is this for 3 years? You're intending this for one time for 3 years?
Yes. I think for as long as the reimagining moves forward. Yes.
Great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. If I could jump in just for a second, just to clarify, the specific request for the civil positions and the sergeant, one of the sergeant positions relates to the pilot program for non-emergency calls. And so that's what they are looking for funding for, even though sometimes you know how in a budget system you have to list things a certain way, but that's what they're speaking to in terms of, that's what the sheriff, I believe, is referring to. So thank you for that time.
Yeah, it sounded much better the way you said it, Deanna. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I have Shauna and Henry, whose hand I can now see really well because he changed his background. Thank you, Henry.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to state that I am really happy to see these OTRs and see them approved. You know, we worked really hard on the reimagining public safety, and I think it would have been very easy for many counties not to add money to the funding. And to really it just be lip service. And the fact that we're willing to support this program and work with the sheriff's department and give additional staff to actually roll this out effectively, I think it says a lot about our commitment to the program. With that said, Sheriff, I was wondering if I know that we've talked before and you're really struggling with recruiting new deputies. Is there any line item that you have for recruitment and retention?
No, there's no line item specifically for that. But no, we've had a great deal of help come to us through Human Resources Department. They've contributed funds at times and helped us with marketing and things of that nature. So, I'm not too concerned about having our own line at this point for that.
Okay, great. I thought I would check. I just want to make sure that, you know, I know that you're shorthanded at times, and a big part of your deputies being happy is having the staff that you need. So I hope we can get those empty positions filled and, you know, get our deputies in a good place.
Yeah, thankfully, Shauna, we have all our positions filled technically now. A lot of them are in training still, and they won't be completely usable until next year. We still have two openings, and we have two long-term disabilities that we're hoping will retire out this year by the end of the year, beginning of next year, and we'll fill those positions as well. So we're really getting there, and we were kind of in a quandary, you know, with our discussions with Lisa and Deanna, with our staffing issues and our road patrol and needing help on the road. And this was really an idea that came about in trying to help us alleviate some of those problems on the road in a way that doesn't add to the road patrol, if that makes sense. We're trying to look at it in a different way and create an opportunity for a non-law enforcement response to many of our calls, which will, in effect, have the same relief to the road patrol without adding more staffing to the road patrol.
I think it's a great idea. Thank you all.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Henry.
Yes, I thought that we were going to study the pilot programs for non-emergency calls. I didn't know that we were going to hire anyone to do it. Am I mistaken?
That's there are two.
Go ahead, Deanna.
He's speaking to the recommendation, so I apologize for not raising my hand. There was a county-specific recommendation that was approved by the legislature to establish a pilot program for non-emergency calls. What you're referring to is the alternative response model, how we consider this pilot program is one of the many alternative responses. This is one way to do it. Also knowing that what you're speaking to will probably be a weightier or more pronounced mental health response or a co-response potentially, depending on what is decided. This, in this case, what I think Derek is speaking to, for example, I'm so glad I talked to Jen this morning, and that one of the things she mentioned today was, she said deer accidents. So instead of sending someone out and play, I'm sorry if I'm mischaracterizing this, it could be done by one of the folks who, for a non-emergency call. And so we knew that there were things that we could already do, with some of the folks using an unarmed response. And so we decided as a county to lead in this initiative to start with the pilot program. And so we will use this data in addition to the data that we collect for the alternative response, looking at those mental health components as well, combine all those efforts at some point. When I mean combine, I mean as a totality of the system, knowing that the sheriff's office, we're hoping this is fruitful for them as well, and we can expand more of this type of work in addition to making sure that we have the appropriate road patrol response.
Yeah, this is really, you know, it's a win for us two times at the sheriff's office because it gives us a lot of help with administrative tasks that tie up a lot of time from people on the road patrol and Jen and myself, while also providing us an opportunity to provide a non-law enforcement response. So I think it's really the best of all worlds, and, you know, I'm excited to get it started and see how it works out.
Okay, so Deanna, are we going to have? Did we already have an entire reimagining public safety budget yet?
Yes. Well, the way you're seeing it is it's coming through the departments, right, through the county budget process. And so the alternative response that you're referring to was actually presented in the county administration budget. There is, I believe, there's $25,000 for research. And so that's the portion that I believe you're responding to. So yes, you've seen this. But then I believe Lisa also sent out a comprehensive list of items that will be shared, and then also the individual costs for the county as well on Monday. So you will see a couple of more programs coming through Reimagining through the planning department, I believe. And I believe one more department, but it's escaping me right now. So you have the list. And also I would also just like to state that these costs are consistent with the same cost and estimates that were provided in March as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Deanna, for that clarification. Is anybody anything else about the jail before we move, or about the sheriff's office before we move on to the jail? Looks like there are no further questions, Derek, so let's talk about the jail.
Yeah, we're being kind of boring with the jail budget this year. There's really no change, like I said, other than...
We like boring.
yeah, so don't I. The only thing that's reflected in the budget in relation to the jail is the removal of that funding for the second jail nurse and sliding it over to the law enforcement budget to help support those positions.
All right. Martha has a question.
Hi, Derek. About this, I'm wondering if you have been in touch with the Commission on Corrections about a staffing plan and whether they have evaluated or are allowing you to evaluate your staffing based on lower numbers?
No, I haven't talked to them since probably last year on this topic, and we're kind of in the same boat now that we were last year. There really isn't any opportunity for us to reduce staffing due to our building construction at this time. Unfortunately, we're kind of stuck where we're at. If we did have a pod system or a pod or two in place, yeah, we could probably easily reduce our staffing. I'm sure we could. But just, you know, the design of the building and the way the cells are lined up and the different stations that the COs work in, it's impossible for us to lower staffing. And in fact, our overtime in the jail specifically still is an issue. We do spend a lot more overtime than I think we should or would like to. And that's a lot of it's due to disability use or abuse with the disability plan we currently have in the contract. We've tried to negotiate that away. Thus far, we've been unsuccessful, but I'm hoping that at some time maybe we can get rid of that 960 plus or whatever hours it is of disability time that all our employees get every year. It really hurts us.
All right. Thanks very much.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Mike Lane has a question.
Derek, what you just said, I'd certainly like to underscore that. It's the design of the building that's holding us back from reductions in staff. We've needed a pod for a long, long time up there, a pod system. And, of course, anytime we talk about any kind of changes like that, we get a lot of pushback on that.
Yeah.
But this is a good example, in my view, and you can comment more if you'd like, but an area where we could save some money if we had a capital project.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I agree with you. You know, and I think we were getting somewhere with changes at the jail, and then COVID reared its ugly head, and I think it pushed us all back, and we had to save money. So, yeah, definitely. And I would say that changing the design of the jail, we could easily, with our turnover rate being what it is amongst correction officers, just through attrition alone, we could reduce staff over time. And it would probably happen very, very quickly.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have questions for Derek or Jen? Or all right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I think you're free to enjoy the rest of your evening. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Deb. Take care. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Okay, so now we're moving on to emergency response, which is at page 4-67 of your books. And let's see, is Mr. Stutler here?
I don't think they've joined us yet.
Oh, well, see, this is the disadvantage of being out of schedule.
I'll get in touch with him right now.
Okay, thanks, Lisa. All right. Jessica and Michael, would you like to present, please, page 4-67 of your budget books?
Hello. Give me a second and I'll share my screen.
Okay. Thank you.
You can see it now? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Good. So I guess you guys are early.
Yeah, imagine that.
So we'll get right to it. I think these might change just slightly based on some personnel changes that are happening. We'll go through that as we get to the full-time equivalents, but you can see the budget changes. I think all of the OTRs have to do with personnel. And then the rest of the budget increases are simply contractual for the most part. I don't think there's anything other than that that's increased our budget at all. Under full-time equivalents, you can see the change. Our target is 28, and we hit that target. And the OTRs are the additional 2.5, which accounts for the change for the 30.5. Like I said, all of our over-target requests are personnel-related. the restoration of our systems manager. Currently, our systems manager is at halftime for the entirety of 2021. We're looking to restore that position to a full-time position. So this total that you see in the OTR would be the balance of that to bring it back to a full-time position for 2022. I'm going to skip the next one. The same is true for the restoration of the professional development coordinator. Previously in Budget Capital Personnel Committee and Public Safety Committee, it was approved for the restoration of professional development coordinator with the understanding that we would have DCJS funds to accommodate for half of that for the remainder of 2021. And we were hoping that that would be the case for the target for 2022's budget. However, we were informed that we are not able to count on having that DCJS funding. So this OTR takes care of that. It just basically restores the half-time position that we had initially tried to pay for with DCJS funds. So that will bring that position back to a full-time position for 2022. The assistant director position, this one's a little confusing. It's a, we want to have, I'll let Mike.
Yes. So thank you, Jessica. No, first, I want to thank Jessica for helping prepare for this evening. So thank you very much. So the assistant director's position, that is a position that Brian Wilbur is currently in. And he's really been serving as the project manager for our backup center. We recognize the need just because of the complexity of the backup center to ask for a 0.5 for 2022 and 2023. As we were building that out, we originally wanted to call that position a project manager, but as we were building it out and making some corrections for the presentation over the last couple of days, we learned that that position doesn't really live anywhere within the county structure. So what we're asking for consideration is just keeping that title with the spirit remaining that that person would be fulfilling the responsibilities as a project manager for the backup center.
And then lastly, the one I skipped over, the restoration of emergency services dispatcher. For 2021, with the reduction in personnel reductions due to COVID, we had eliminated a vacant dispatcher position, and we're simply asking that that one dispatcher position be reinstated to bring us back to 2019 totals of 16 dispatchers. And that is all that we have for you, unless there's any questions.
Yeah, I think right off the bat, Martha has a question because she didn't quite hear what Michael said when he was explaining about the complication of adding certain positions. So, Michael, if you could go over that again, it would be appreciated.
And if you can, sorry, we're in my office because you guys down at the legislature chambers have our one video system, and the other video system is being used by the health consortium at the moment. So we're in my office using my computer sound. So I'm sorry that it's not coming across very well.
So let me do a sound check. So can you hear me a little bit better now?
Not much. And also, if you could refer to the OTR numbers, then it's a little clear. If you've got different titles on them, I'm having trouble making the translation.
We don't have what you guys are seeing, so I'm not quite sure.
Oh.
I just have what our presentation is.
On your presentation,
the OTR numbers are in that second column on your slide.
So OTR number 126.
126.
Okay. That's the one that's the, instead of the project manager, the title, that
correct.
Title doesn't exist. Is that what you said? And so now we have to call it something else?
So the Yeah, so the position of assistant director is currently a position that is staffed here, and that was due to sunset at the end of the year. And we had asked for a 0.5 for 2022 and 2023 for an individual to serve as our project manager. And we have somebody that's serving in that capacity as an assistant right now that would assume that position in January. But because we don't have the term project manager as a defined position in the county, it was recommended that we just keep the position assistant director since it's the same, it's comparable in salary. So we were just hoping to keep that title to make it a little bit easier to transition somebody on January 1st when Brian retires on December 31st.
Got it. So it's this description for 126, but the title in personnel is assistant director. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your patience.
Oh, thank you for rushing to get here. If you wouldn't mind taking your slides off the screen so I can see the people who are here remotely. And I think Henry has a question.
Yes. I see this is ARP funding. Is this for both years, for 22 and 23, Lisa?
It's certainly for 2022. I don't know what our ARP balance will be in the end or whether, you know, those funds will be available for 2023, but I, you know, it's one-time funding for the next 2 years. I would imagine in next year's budget process, we would need to determine what the source of the one-time funding would be.
Okay, we couldn't just reserve the funding for both years?
I've not done that in this process.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, and Mike Lane?
Thank you for your presentation, folks. I just wanted to say thank you also for the loan of your screen, and we'll get it back to you eventually.
Yes, eventually.
You always have to be careful when we start taking stuff, you know.
Okay, anybody else? I don't see anyone. So thank you, Michael and Jessica, for your presentation. We appreciate it. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Our last department on the agenda is probation. That is at page 4173 of your book. And let's see who we've got here.
Dan Cornell has not joined us yet.
Another stretch for us.
I did reach him, and he said he would be logging right on. So.
Okay.
I'll
God, we
I'll
are just whizzing along tonight. Okay, Dan, whenever you are ready, we are ready for you.
We got to share our screen.
All right, sorry for the delays.
Well, we were running way ahead, so you couldn't have known that. I mean, we don't usually do that, right?
It's good to be ahead. Looking for...
Yeah, we're going to find that.
Sorry, a little discombobulated with this.
Okay, take a deep breath.
Where's the attachments to this?
There you go, right there.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, opened at the bottom.
Behind every great man is a helpful woman.
I'm very fortunate to have the helpful women that I have.
Minimize the screen.
Mm-hmm. Now I got to go here.
Yeah,
and
you got to go back. Yep, and then share, and it should give you the option to pull up the PowerPoint right there. Yep.
God bless these two ladies.
And then hit share. There we go.
All right, here we go.
Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
I'll turn the computer down so you can actually see the people who are in charge around here. So this is our budget for 2022. It's really just a maintenance of effort budget. We only have two slides. We're only looking for about $37,861 more than last year. Most of that is accounted for by fringe change and the decrease in revenue from last year. So we're 2021 budget was 3,488,000 and change. Our 2022 target is $3,526,500.499. It's an increase of 0.31%. I don't know what questions you may have in regards to that.
Does anyone have a question? Martha does.
Hi, Dan. I'm looking at your full-time equivalents.
Okay.
You had, in 2020, you had 36, and that was included 13 probation officers. And you went down to from 36 to 32 in the 2021 budget, and you're staying at 32.
Yes.
So is that related to the, well, I guess it wouldn't be related to the lower jail numbers. In fact, lower jail numbers might mean more work for your folks. But so how do you manage that drop in FTEs?
Well, we were able to, last year, obviously, we're in a different financial situation as a county. We were asked to cut our budget by 11%.
Mm-hmm.
That meant a reduction in staff, which we were able to do largely by attrition through retirements and people leaving the department. We just didn't seek to backfill those positions. The one loss of employee that was really not by the employee's choice was the need to cut our workforce development specialist position from our day reporting program. So that's, we lost two probation officers, actually three probation officers and the workforce development specialist.
We have the vacant RTA PO.
Right, we lost two and we gave up a vacant spot
and
for a PO. That's right. We lost an administrative assistant title as well. We contracted that administrative unit by one person.
Mm-hmm.
So our caseload numbers have dropped a little bit because of COVID. So we are able to provide good quality services to all of our clients and the courts with the staff that we have at this point. We're hoping that if our numbers increase and the financial situation of the county improves, that we may seek to restore one of those positions in a later budget, but we don't foresee needing that in 2023 or 2022.
Okay. And, well, that's good. I wonder, what about day reporting? Is that open? I you know, since I'm not on the public safety committee, I don't keep up as much as I used to. What is day reporting open?
Yes, it is. Day reporting's been open since July. We have not had a great deal of utilization. The courts are all aware that day reporting is open, and we're able to meet the needs of the courts at this point.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Okay, Kathy, can you see on the list who has questions?
Amanda Champion.
Okay, Amanda.
Hi, thanks, Dan, and no worries about technical difficulties because we all have them. I'm looking at, let's see, Appendix B, which in our budget book, which is contracts. And I see that you have a lot of contracts with, well, with a variety of places, but particularly Cooperative Extension. And I was, and it just says client services. And I just was wondering what those are. Are they programs that Cooperative Extension operates that your clients are in? Or I just was wondering.
It's all programming that's related to our day reporting program. We have a teacher through BOCES, and we have other staff from Cooperative Extension who come in and present programming here at the Day Reporting Center.
Okay. And there, so each of the different, like there's several different lines. So those are like different programs or different people or, okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Amanda, you got lots of credit for extra effort for actually reading the appendix.
Great. I like extra credit.
Okay. Mike Lane, I think, has a question.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for your presentation. When Lisa Holmes presented the budget, she gave us some dashboard figures that included an increase in the safety net caseload in your department, which apparently we have to pay at the local level, 71% of. I wondered if we have any tools or any efforts or any thoughts about how we can reduce that load or shift the cost or anything. And I, that may be a huge question, but I just kind of wondered if you have any comments on it.
I don't believe that's related to our department. I believe it's Department of Social Services that handles safety net.
I'm sorry. You're exactly right. And I'm asking the wrong question in the wrong place. Excuse me. But if you have any thoughts on how we can do it, we don't need that. No, I made the question in the wrong place. Sorry.
You scared
That's
me.
Okay.
My fault.
Mike, we're so far ahead. Mike's racing to the next meeting.
I think I am. I'm looking at my list here.
Okay, you can stop sharing your screen if you would, just so that I can make sure that there's nobody else who has a question, Dan.
Okay.
Oh, it's underneath the camera.
It's hiding behind the camera.
Yep. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see any other questions.
Annie.
I'm sorry, Annie. Go ahead.
I had a question about tourism dollars. I'm sorry. That's the next time, too. I'm good.
Ooh,
you're going to kill me, Annie.
All right. Okay, Martha has another question.
Yeah, I got a real one. Is parole using our services these days, especially day reporting?
I don't believe we've had a parolee in day reporting since COVID started. So that's going back to the beginning of my tenure here.
Okay. All right. That's too bad.
I have spoken with the parole supervisor, Mr. Koonsman, and they are aware that they're more than welcome to send people here. So I can revisit those efforts with him and just see where we're at. I know there's been some changes recently on parole violations and technical violations, so perhaps we could resume that partnership with them or could enhance our partnership with them to get some of their folks in here.
That would be great. We have the services and the space. I hope they can use it. Thank you very much, Dan.
I will reach out to them.
Okay, last chance to ask questions. Going once. Going twice. All right, that's it. Thank you, Dan.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Have a pleasant evening.
You as well. Thank you.
And have a pleasant evening, everyone on the legislature. We are done.